Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily, Joe Giglio with you. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast, YouTube feed, 94 WIP. Check it out there. Now, that was a good weekend for the Phillies. How about that? We asked for 2 out of 3, and they delivered 2 out of 3. The dramatic win on Friday with the base running and Real Muto catching up to Castellanos and the bases on a City Connect night. Saturday, a little setback with Abel giving up a bunch of home runs. But last night, the Phillies delivered behind Jesus Luzardo and Kyle Schwarber and Nick Castellanos, and a really overall good team effort yesterday. The Phillies take 2 out of 3, and we wake up today on June 23rd, and the Phillies are in first place in the National League East. I want to go through my 5 big takeaways from the Phillies series win over the Mets. Let's start with last night. Let's start, and we'll kind of work our way around the weekend. And that really is Jesus Luzardo and what he was able to accomplish. And I think we're fully out of the woods now with the pitch tipping. And we're fully out of the woods with whatever that was for 2 starts, 20 runs at 2 starts. The rest of the season, the guy has been just totally remarkable. And what I saw last night was a continuation of what he did this year against the Dodgers, the Cubs twice, now the Mets. Jesus Luzardo has been a big-time pitcher in big-time games. And he strikes me as the kind of guy that gets up for these games. He said it after the game last night. He has thrown 25 and two-thirds innings pitched in 4 starts against the Cubs, Dodgers, and Mets. He has allowed a total of 1 earned run. Think about those lineups for a second. Just think about who those teams have in their lineup for a second, whether it be a Kyle Tucker, a Seiya Suzuki, a Pete Crow Armstrong. You know, I mean, you go up and down the Cubs lineup, it is deep. You go up and down the Mets lineup, it is a Lindor, it is an Alonso, it is a Soto. You go to the Dodgers with Ohtani and Freeman and Betts. And we're talking about, I'm going to try to guess right now, I wouldn't be surprised if the Mets, Dodgers, and Cubs have 7 of the top 10 finishers for the MVP, 6 or 7 of the top 10. I'm going to just look right now. So if you look at the NL MVP odds right now, Ohtani, Pete Crow Armstrong, Kyle Tucker, Juan Soto, Pete Alonso. They're your top 5. Tatis is 6, Corbin Carroll 7, Freeman 8, Lindor 9, Acuna, James Wood tied for Acuna 10, okay? So that means among the favorites, Ohtani's clearly the favorite. But you have a Dodger, a Cub, a Met. So you have 7 of the 10 top 10 in NL MVP odds are Dodgers or Cubs. It gives you a sense of what this guy has done. We had a little conversation last week, who should be the number 2 in the postseason, who profiles the best, who would be each of our number 2s. I'd give the ball to Jesus Luzardo. I don't get too caught up on 2 bad starts. He's healthy. His stuff is there. The sweeper's incredible. The changeup's incredible. The fastball, obviously, is very live. He's not afraid of the big moment. I think he's built for October. I think he's built for Citizens Bank Park in October. Love what I saw last night out of Jesus Luzardo. All right, number 2, second biggest takeaway, is the Bryce Harper mystery. You know, the Phillies continue to say very optimistic things, yet every time it goes national or Bryce talks, it's way more, hey, we'll see. I just don't get what's going on with his wrist. Bryce spoke on Friday and said no structural damage. They said it won't take any surgery. But he said he hopes it's soon. And then, you know, it'd be great if it was in the next 10 days. You know, next 10 days, 10 days from right now, I'm going to look at the calendar. 10 days from right now is July 2nd? July 3rd? Yeah, 10 days from right now is July 3rd. He went on the injured list on I believe it was June 7th, Saturday, June 7th. I mean, that's basically a month. And if we're going, you know, if he's not ready until hopefully, you know, if 10 days is kind of like the optimistic thing, that's July 3rd, you might as well just hold him out to the All-Star break. The final game before the All-Star break is Sunday, July 13th. I mean, what is the point? Why are they rushing him back? So it's this weird thing where he's very cautious, very, you know, kind of slow in the process. You know, the Phillies keep saying he's cleared, or at least Nebraska is clear. Topper said he wouldn't be surprised one day he just says, I'm ready to go. There will be no rehab assignment. There's still been zero clarity. I've said this like 1,000 times out of the last 2 weeks on what this injury is. It's just a wrist with inflammation. What does that mean? What is inflamed? What is inflamed in there? And what's causing the inflammation? What, you know, it's a bizarre situation. And because there's nothing of real clarity, it gives me concern that this is very possible this pops back up again during the season. All right, that's the second big takeaway for the weekend. Number three is the platoon advantage. It eventually works. So last night, the Phillies platooned advantage their way to a bunch of runs. You know, I know Schwarber at the home run to get it started against David Peterson, the Mets lefty, but it was really the righties that delivered. It was Castellanos. It was the three-run home run from Edmundo Sosa. It was JT with a big walk in that inning. I mean, it was a lot of the right-handed hitters last night that did it. So they entered the game last night with a 690 OPS. They're right-handed hitters against lefties. That's why we've talked so much about getting another right-handed bat. And that number was about close to 100 points worse than what they did last year. It's a market difference. I mean, the Phillies last year, you know, they took advantage when they had the platoon advantage. This year, they haven't done it. They entered the night last night with a 373 slugging percentage left off right. That'd be the worst for a platoon advantage the Phillies have had since 2018. We know that team wasn't obviously very good. So the Phillies need to have one or two things go their way. They need the platoon advantage to work for them. They need their righties to start hitting lefties. Real Muto led by him. Sosa is going to get the opportunity because the Phillies obviously want to get him on the field instead of Bryce Estad against lefties. Otto Kemp's going to get an opportunity in left field to platoon with, you know, Max Kepler out there. They need to do the job. Rojas, when he's in there over Marsh. Marsh has hit for a month now, but when Rojas gets those opportunities against the lefties, he's got to do better than he has. They need to get production, power production, lefty against righty. Now, Turner and Bohm and Castellanos, those are the constants. Those are the guys that you feel like have to do it more. They need more power. You know, Turner's had a solid season, a good season. Bohm has turned his year around to, I would say, probably now above or slightly above average or maybe around average. I haven't looked up Bohm's overall numbers, but it's probably in that range of, you know, if he hasn't cleared average, he's close to it now. Yeah, Bohm has gotten to a 101 OPS plus, so just above average. So the Phillies are getting, you know, Stott's well below average, Real Muto's below average, Kepler's below average, Marsh is still below average, but they're getting huge production out of Schwarber. Above average out of Castellanos, above average out of Harper, and above average out of Turner. So that's what they're getting right now. But they need out of the other guys. And if they bring someone in, that guy's got to hit two against the left-handed pitchers. Because if I'm an opponent, I'm just going to stack the lefties. I'm going to stack the lefties, dare Turner and Bohm and Castellanos hit for power, try to take away Schwarber, and, you know, kind of force the Phillies' hand into putting Marsh and Stott on the bench and saying, can you beat me with Sosa? Can you beat me with Rojas? Can you beat me with Otto Kemp and Buddy Kennedy? That's what I would do if I were the Phillies right now, or an opponent of the Phillies. All right, takeaway number, what are we at? Number four for last night. Let's hope Juan Soto eventually cools down before we see the Mets again in August. Let me pull up the Phillies' schedule here because I don't believe they're going to see the Mets again until a series in August, which means we got a lot of baseball that's going to be played over the next couple of months when these two teams will not see each other. And we'll see where the two teams are after that. So the Phillies schedule is going to be really challenging between now and the All-Star break. Here's what we have the rest of the way. So the Phillies have 3, 6, 9, 12, 18 games left until the All-Star break. And they're at Houston for three coming up tomorrow, Wednesday, and then Thursday. They're at Atlanta for three this weekend. Abel Lizardo Suarez in Atlanta. Then they are in San Diego. They're home for San Diego Monday, June 30th. Tuesday, July 1st, and then a 1 o'clock game on Wednesday, July 2nd. They're home for the 4th of July weekend against Cincinnati. For a 1 o'clock game on July 4th, I love that. A 4 o'clock game on July 5th. A 1 o'clock game, 1:35 game on Sunday the 6th. Then they're in San Francisco for three, Monday, July 7th, Tuesday, July 8th, Wednesday, July 9th. And then off Thursday the 10th, Friday the 11th at San Diego, Friday the 12th at San Diego, Sunday, July 13th at San Diego as we head to the All-Star break. So that's obviously no more Mets. That's the first half. Second half, I'm going to pull up the schedule second half. They get the Angels here. They get the Red Sox here. They go to the Yankees. They go to the White Sox. They host Detroit. They host Baltimore at Texas, at Cincinnati, at Washington for a long road trip. And then they come home to face Seattle and Washington. The next time the Phillies see the Mets will be August 25th, 26th, 27th at the Mets. 7-10, 7-10, 7-10, a huge series. And they get him here for four games, September 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, in a huge series. That'll be the last time they see them. So we won't see the Mets again until August 25th. So it is a clear 2 months. Let's hope Juan Soto cools down, because Juan Soto with the two home runs over the weekend clearly has heated up here. You look at his game logs and you even include last night where he didn't do much. Last night he was, 0 for 2. But if you include that if you go back to May 30th, Juan Soto now, even with the 0 for last night, he has raised his OPS from 755 to 872. He has been on a tear when it comes to the walk to strikeout ratio. He has, I think it was 22 to 11 going into last night over the last, whatever number of games that is. He's been remarkable. And this is more of the Juan Soto we're all used to. So let's hope he cools down a little bit here or he cools down by the time we see him again, because he's going to stay hot. I mean, this is what the guy does. He's one of the better hitters in all of baseball for a reason. He'll stay hot for a good period of time. Let's hope that he cools down a little bit here, because this is it's pretty remarkable what he's done over the last 2 weeks or so. Batting average was 229. Now it's 255. On base was 355. Now it's 392. He is over the last 22 games hit 338 with a 495 OBP, a 716 slugging, 1211 OPS, 8 home runs and 22 walks. I mean, it's MVP kind of stuff. So let's hope by the time we see him again, he won't be doing that well. And the fifth takeaway is I'm starting to wonder if the league has caught up to Mick Abel here and has a book on Mick Abel. So his ERA is still fine at 3.47, but three home runs in a row a couple nights ago. His FIP, his fielding independent pitching, is 6.07. He has only struck out 6.9 batters per nine innings. It feels like he's being saved by all the home runs he'll have, which is 7 in 23 and a third innings pitch have all been solo shots. I'm concerned about Abel. And I'm concerned the Phillies starting rotation depth has gone from immaculate to, pretty quickly here. So you have Wheeler dominating. You have Lizardo, other than two starts, dominating. Sanchez has pitched very well so far this season. And Suarez is dominating. But Nola, we're not expecting back probably till August. Abel, I think the league has caught up to what he's doing here. Taiwan has become an ineffective relief pitcher. And it looks like Painter has leveled off at AAA and is not dominating. So I'm not sure what the fix is here. Can they get Abel through the next few weeks of the All-Star break? I hope, but it might be some rough outings, specifically next Saturday night in Atlanta. Or Friday night, whatever that is. That feels like a tough spot for Mick Abel to pitch and to succeed in that spot in Atlanta. We'll see, but I am concerned about Abel and what he's got right now. They need picture-perfect health from the Wheeler, Luzardo, Sanchez, Suarez quartet. They need it, because I don't know what I'm getting out of Nola. I don't know when they think Painter's ready. I don't know what we're getting in Abel right now. And they've kind of, the ship has sailed on Walker. And they may have made a mistake with that, because he was pitching better as a starter, I thought, than a reliever. But the Abel thing does concern me. Overall, though, heck of a weekend. I mean, a heck of a weekend. Lizardo dominant. The Harper thing is such a mystery to me. The platoon advantage, it eventually works. You just have to stick with it, and it will eventually will work. Let's hope Soto cools down by the time these two teams face off again in August, because the guy is on a heater right now, and the league might have the book on Mick Abel. 7 home runs at 23 and a third is an enormous amount. The Mets did not look fooled. He got out of trouble in the first inning. What concerns you about Abel is he's danced out of a lot of trouble, and yet is, you know, you still see the signs of the problem. That the difference between the FIP and the ERA is enormous. Fielding independent pitching, kind of what his ERA should be, 6.07, what it is, 3.47. You know, I won't be surprised if Abel's ERA is in the upper fours, you know, within two starts. He's going to face the Braves, and then I guess he'll face, depending on when he starts the Braves series, he might either face the Padres at the end of that series or the Reds. I could go back to pull up their schedule. Let's see. First half, it looks like we're getting Abel.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This coming Friday in Atlanta, and then he'll end the Padres series. That's a tough combination there. It's a tough combination. Then he'll pitch in San Francisco to end his first half. I mean, he's got three more starts in the first half. I won't be surprised if his ERA is in the upper fours. Those are three toughies. All right, I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, follow the podcast. Our YouTube feed, 94WIP. Check it out there.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.